attention to the book of Micah. Minor prophet, chapter 5, verse number 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughters of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose doing or goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth have brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. We're talking about our God, a prophecy. Amen. Then would you turn to Psalms 132. Verse number 11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon the throne. Amen. And then if you'll turn to John 7 and 42. Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Fulfillment of the scripture in Micah, Psalms. There's one more scripture I'd like you to turn to, Philippians, the fourth chapter. And verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And that word prayer there should have been interpreted praise. And in everything by praise and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word. We're grateful, God, to be in your house tonight. We're grateful for every individual that's here, God, and we ask, God, that you would touch every person that's here. Lord, you know what our needs are. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There was a time when Saul, who was the king of Israel, sinned greatly. He did not follow the instructions that Samuel had given him. He didn't kill King Amalek and the Amalekites. And he kept some things that he was supposed to destroy. And as a result, the Bible says that God repented that he had made him king, and he took his throne from him. And the Bible says that there was an evil spirit that came upon him. And he got no rest day and night. And the only rest that he got, the only peace that he got, was to have David come and play and sing before him, which gave him peace. And then he would be peaceful for a while, and David would leave, and he'd call him back and ask him to sing one more of those songs, those psalms, and it would give him relief. I believe the same is true for each and every one of us. We walk in here sometimes overloaded with all kinds of pressure, like Brother Portman said, did I do the right thing, and did I get the right thing, and did I remember the right person, and on and on. And this time of the year brings all kinds of pressure. I had a friend that was a psychiatrist that I spent a lot of time with, and he said, at this time of the year, there are more people who are depressed because of the pressure that is on them than any other time of the year. But when we come into the house of God and we hear the songs of Zion sung, and we hear the scriptures, all of a sudden there's a peace that comes over us that we normally couldn't get by ourselves, you see. It is so imperative that we get into a song service and feel the presence of God and hear the songs of Zion, and it's a calming effect, you see. Amen. Wherever you go this time of the year, well, you hear Christmas songs, most of which we've heard over and over and over again, and it's almost like song service because there are a lot of our songs that we sing over and over and over again, and that's a good thing because we become familiar with the songs, and it gives us more liberty and freedom in order to worship God because we know the songs. And there are worship songs, and then there are praise songs, and then there are just some songs that we like to sing, but you know, there's a depth to it, you see. Many of the singers are no longer living that we hear over the loudspeakers and malls and all kinds of places, but their songs live on as the scriptures live on. I read that in the 18th century, celebrations of Christmas were almost banned completely because they had been turned into drunken sprees, and there were all kinds of things that happened. There was crimes that went on, and so there were some wise men that found a solution, and they said, let's sing. Let's sing at this time of the year, and so they did. The introduction of Christmas carols soothing the savage beast, if you will, and the crime at Christmas time dropped significantly. And you know, we're hearing songs of peace and songs that relate to Scripture, and there's something that changes society, you know. The more we are the church, the more we change the atmosphere that's outside the church. The more you're at the job and you're praying and you're living right, the more people are changed that are around you. So what is your favorite Christmas carol? My favorite Christmas carol has no reindeer, no sleighs, no bells, no toys, no Santa. My favorite of all of the Christmas songs are things like, He's God in the Father, He's God in the Son, He's God in the Holy Ghost, and all these three are one. Amen. These are true Christmas songs. Like I said this morning, we're singing Christmas songs all year long. We're talking about Christ. It's all about the real meaning of Christmas. It's about the God who became man to save us from our sins. We need to highlight Him and give Him worship, give Him praise. There is one song that is a favorite of mine this time of the year, and that's because it comes right out of Scripture, the Scripture that we read. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless skies, the silent stars go by. Yet in the dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all of the years are met in thee tonight. There's something about what happened at Bethlehem that took care of all of our hopes and all of our fears. And basically, that's what the church does. People walk in here, they feel something, and they experience a hope and a taking care of the fears that they have. Hallelujah. This song and many other Christian songs are played over and over and over in all kinds of stores and malls, and no one rebels. No one says, stop the music. Atheists sing along with them. Agnostics are preached to in stores everywhere, and they don't even understand it, and they don't complain. And you wonder why there's more peace at this time of the year. It's because there is songs about the Savior being sung everywhere, and people aren't even aware of what's going on in their life. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which means the city of bread. It was known as the city of David. It's where David tended his father's sheep and drank water to refresh him at that well out in the shepherd's field. In fact, he during a battle, just longed for a drink from that well, and his men really risked their lives in order to give him a drink, a refreshing, you know. Sometimes, folks, we need to just get in here and get a refreshing. There's so much pressure. There's things that are happening in our life. And the only thing that'll give us that peace is to hear the songs of Zion and to feel the refreshing of God's Spirit. I remember, I said this morning, I remember in 1980, my wife and I being in Bethlehem, and I remember being out in a shepherd's field, the same place where Jesus was born, and it was nighttime, it was December, we looked at the stars in the sky. They have a church that's built over the place where Jesus was born. You have to go down several stairs, and there's a great big star in the floor where the manger was supposed to have been. You can't walk into that church standing up because the door is only this high. So everyone who goes into that church of Nativity has to bend down and bow themselves in order to get there. Bethlehem, too small to be considered a great city of Judah, too small. And I wonder, he could have been born in Jerusalem. He could have been born in a great city, but he came to a very small place, a very humble space, a place that wasn't of notoriety. And you know, every one of us that are born of the Spirit and have Christ overshadowed in us, it's not because we're great people. It's because we become humble and we just want God to be with us. Yet out of the least of the land of Judah came the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The song said, the hopes and fears of all of the years are met in thee tonight. Fear dominated at the time Jesus was born. There was Roman oppression ruling over the people with a heavy taxation and all kinds of rules. Some things just never change. A perfect time for Jesus to come is when things aren't going well for you. It's a perfect time. I taught Sheena and Jeff a Bible study. In fact, two Bible studies this summer, and Sheena's daughter loves Children's Church and Power Hour. Unfortunately, in the last month, there have been several deaths in the family, and one was her grandmother, and she was telling me this morning that her seven-year-old daughter says, Mom, don't worry about Grandma. Jesus is going to take care of her. But there's one thing I'm going to miss. It's her mashed potatoes. Out of the mouth of babes, you know, don't worry, Mom. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. He doesn't come to people who are confident in themselves. But they're born out of brokenness. And they have hope If you try everything and everything's failed, try Jesus. There is not a problem that's too big for him.
Amen.
There are no impossibilities.
Amen.
Before you take the next step thinking, well, I'll get myself out of this jam, you ought to go to Jesus first. Years ago, I've said this before, but years ago we were in Germany. We went to the Dachau concentration camp, and one of the most heart-wrenching pictures that were on the wall, there's all kinds of pictures, was a picture of a mother and her little daughter standing in line entering into the gas chamber. The little girl walks in front of her mother, not knowing what awaits her. And in this hopeless situation, the only thing that the mother can do is shield her daughter's eyes from knowing what is going to happen. The hopes and fears of all of the years. For such a time as this, there's a Savior that was born. For every problem, for every sadness, for every difficulty, for every unanswered situation in your life, for everything that is a disappointment, for the impossible things in your life, there is a Savior.
Amen.
That shields us.
Amen.
From so much. We don't know what we're walking into for tomorrow.
That's right.
But our God does.
Amen.
Jesus didn't enter into the world in a time of peace, just many difficulties, but he was just what the world needed for then, and he's just what the world needs for today. I see some of the pictures from Syria and those little kids, those refugees that have nothing, and many of them have lost parents, and I think, my God, my God. God loves every one of them. I don't understand war. I don't understand the violence and the hatred that this world has produced. But I know that there's a God that loves each and every one of them. He was and is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the only one who can bring peace to us. In fact, nobody can really have peace without him.
Amen.
In 1809, Napoleon devastated Europe with a rampage of killing. It was an atrocity. Europe at that time was just recovering from the bubonic plague that killed literally thousands and thousands of people. The average life expectancy at that time was about 40 years. And there was such devastation of the world, and literally millions of people died in that century. But also in 1809, Oliver Wendell Holmes was born, who would change the world drastically. That same year, in a little dirt floor cabin, a baby boy was born in Kentucky named Abraham Lincoln, giving rebirth to the land of freedom. The destiny of the world isn't shaped by war, but by the birth of people who had an influence on the world long after they were born. Somebody in obscurity was born who made a mark on this world that changed it, you see. And maybe you could be that one. Maybe I could be that one, especially in the lives of those who have so many fears. No one has changed the world like the birth of Jesus, our Savior. No one.
Amen.
Nothing and nobody can change your situation like my God can change your situation. The hopes and fears of all of the years. Amen. And it'd be a shame that we didn't go to him with our needs. He and he alone can bring peace into our life.
Amen.
If you went to Bethlehem today, you wouldn't find peace. You'd find soldiers, you'd find fences, I remember the first time I entered into Israel, we were coming from Jordan, so we're going from an Arab country to Israel, and we had to go through, you talk about being patted down at the airport. They took the women in one room and patted them down, and men in the other room. They squeezed the toothpaste. They ripped the lining out of our suitcases because they were afraid that somebody had planted a bomb that would destroy Israel because there was such hatred between the Arabs and the Israelis. Bethlehem Square is filled with violence. The sons of Abraham fight one another. Isaac against Ishmael. What should have been a peaceful thing has become a war forever. Arabs against Jews. And although there is no peace in Bethlehem, there is peace in the one that was born in Bethlehem. And although God won't stop all wars or all conflict in your life, there is one who was born to bring peace in the middle of it. He can prepare a table in the presence of your enemy. Glory to God. Micah said, He is our peace. Now, many of the words we find associated with the Christmas story have lost their original meaning. I love the King James Version because I can trace it back to the original language and get a better understanding of what God really meant. I know there's Blue Jean Bibles and nearly anointed versions, but there's something about the King James Version, but they are using the Old English and they translate from the original language. There's words like magi and nativity and swaddling and Noel, and sometimes we read that, but we don't really have a complete understanding of what it really means. The word Noel is found in the Christmas hymn, the first Noel. Noel, Noel, born is the King of Israel. Noel is an old English word, which is an abbreviation form of a longer phrase meaning now all is well. So when you say Noel, you're saying now all is well. Jesus came into our world, now all is well. Jesus came into my life, Noel. Now all is well. It won't necessarily be perfect in your life, but I know there's a God who understands everything that's going on in my life, and I'm all right with that. Diagnosis. People walking away from you. Financial struggles. Noel. After hearing angels sing, frightened shepherds would then say, Noel, now all is well. Wise men from the east, being threatened by the king, after seeing the Christ child, would say, Noel, now all is well. The priest Simon and Anna, they were promised that they would somehow see the Savior before they passed away. And once they saw the Christ child, they could say, Noel, now all is well. Today, the oppressed, the weak, the sick, the lonely can also say, Noel. No matter what situation you're in, no matter what your circumstances, listen, everything is okay because Jesus knows about it. All things work together for good for those that are the called according to his purpose. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to leave my faith because situations happen. God knows all about it. He's going to take care of me. We have heard the saying, all's well that ends well, you know. But at Christmas, all is well that begins well. And when you have a beginning with Christ, when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, it seemed like nothing else mattered. I remember coming home that Sunday night after being filled with the Holy Ghost and a whole bunch of people came. They were going to celebrate because I was one of those hard cases. And I thought to myself, I don't care what happens tomorrow. I had some trouble in my business. I was developing a subdivision and things weren't going well. And it didn't matter. I thought to myself, is there something wrong with me that I don't care anymore? Noel, all is well. It doesn't matter because I got somebody who's in charge of my life now that was, well, I don't have to deal with it by myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My future is well. Your future is well. Tonight, I point you to a manger. But then I point you to a cross. And then I point you to an empty tomb. And then I point you to an upper room. And then I point you to the place that you got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Noel, now all is well. Jesus is born that I might live. He was wrapped in rags that I might be wrapped in clean white linen. I don't understand. I don't understand the love of God like that. Born in a manger that I might be a mansion. He robed himself in flesh that one day we would be clothed in light. He made himself of no reputation that the world would see the church stand out in glory. You see, he didn't make a splash, but he wants this church to make a splash. He wants us to be seen by everyone around us. And he has given us his name, which is above every name. And we have power in the name of Jesus. A preacher's little girl interrupted her father as he was finishing his sermon, wanting to play. When I read the story, I've been reminded of so many Saturdays that my kids and my wife had to be quiet because I was working on a message. So this preacher said, if you'll just give me 1 hour, then I'll play with you. About a six-year-old. Okay, when you're finished, Daddy, I'm going to give you a great big hug, she said. The father said, that'll be nice. But when she got to the door, she suddenly came running back and threw her arms around her father and hugged him. And he said, wait a minute, I thought you said that you would give me a hug after I'm finished. And she said, Daddy, I just want you to know what you have to look forward to. At Christmas, church, we especially who have received the Holy Ghost, we got something to look forward to. He's given us the earnest of our inheritance. He's touched us from heaven. But when he's finished with his sermons, we're going to get the real thing, church. Amen. Noel, Noel. Now everything is well. I'm looking forward to 2017. My God's going to do some great things. Amen. He's going to cause us to appear on the scene. Amen. So others, amen, can say, Noel, amen, now all is well. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. I taught a man that was here this morning two Bible studies over the years, and he's getting up in age. I just got a hold of him this morning after the service, and he comes every once in a while, and I said, I love you so much, But you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't. But I'd rather be an offense right now than for somebody to miss out for eternity. And we're here to be a witness. We're not taking anything away from people. We want to give them the best of what God has for them. And that's a great responsibility, folks. He who wins souls is wise. Wise not only because you want to win souls, because it's a priority in your life, but you have to be wise in winning them. And this season is more than just tinsel and presents. It's sharing the gift. It's a re-gifting, if you will. I got it. You need it. I want you to have it. Amen. So maybe this year you can unwrap the best gift that was ever given. Unwrap. Give them a little Jesus. Tell them what God's done in your life, that it might be Noel in their life. The altar's open. Would you come?